Today I'm going to explore a large subject with you, and I'm going to hit the high points of it. And you may have more questions than I have answers, and that's good. I want to provoke you to study. When I go to the, when we went to Dallas, and I kissed my brothers on the cheeks and on the neck, and Aaron, I got some flack from that even about it, but I got a lot of positive things. I said, I'll rewrite the article, but when the article that I had written in the, about it, as I looked into it, it's all right to kiss a brother if you love him, but it's the same thing as a friendly handshake. You're showing your brother your love and care for him. And that is what is more important than anything, is the way you treat each other. It is so very important. So how do we go about getting a wife? Now, I'm going to go from the physical aspect of this. And when you people, most of you have been in this long enough to know that if you're doing the spiritual things, the physical things will fall in their proper order. So I am going to hit a few physical things from maybe a point of view that you've not thought of before. But when it's over, you're going to know how to treat your wife. More importantly, you're going to know how to be a wife. How do you go about getting a wife? Do you just go out and knock one on the head with a big stick, and when she wakes up, say, "You married, gal?" Yep, not on your head means you're mine now, and you owe me the rest of your life, and you won't wake up with any more knots on your head. Is that what we mean by tying the knots? Now, I speak foolishness, but that's the way man has viewed getting a wife. Hey, I'm an old country boy. I mean, get in a truck, woman, and there's a lot of very crude jokes about that with total disrespect for a woman. We have, as a society, treated women as second-class citizens, as less than what we are. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world of men. No, that's not what he did. So today we'll come to a deeper understanding of it. In the beginning, now, if you look at the first scripture in Genesis 1, it should be beginning. Rashid created the heavens and the earth. Rashid, first fruit, the chiefest one, Jesus Christ. Now, we think that we take that as Jesus Christ created all things. Let's look at this. He said in Genesis 1, Rashid, God, Elohim, that's not one, that's true, two. God through Jesus Christ. Jesus can't do anything of himself, by himself. John 5:30, I can do nothing of myself. He only does what the Father directs him to do. So when you understand that, it wasn't just Jesus doing it. Listen to this. Isaiah 40 and verse 26 said, lift up your eyes on high and behold who created all these things that bring out the host by number and calleth them all by name. He said the number is so numerous we can't number them, but he not only numbers them, but he names each one of them. He calleth them all by name by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power and not one that faileth. So the Lord's showing you there. He's not going to fail one of his creation. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men, scratch out men, that's not in there, to make all see what is the fellowship of the secret which has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Who created it? God, by Christ Jesus. You cannot separate God and Jesus Christ, no more than you can separate us from the body of Christ. We are one in God. Jesus and God are one, yet they're two entities. But Jesus only does what the Father tells him to do. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, that is in the heavens, that is in the earth, visible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. Now, the first time I read this, I said, well, Christ, you're a little bit selfish there, aren't you? That's what I thought. And I told him, I said, sounds like you're a little selfish there, that everything's created for you. Well, where are you? Seated in Jesus Christ. So everything is created for you. You are seated in Jesus Christ. God in Christ, Christ in God, Jesus in us. If he's in us and God's in him, he's in us. All things are created for us through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Revelation 4:1 said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they were created, for his pleasure. There again, we're seated in him, for our pleasure is everything created. As he is, so are we. We are Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:7, we are Christ. We are Jesus Christ is Christ. We are the Christ of Christ. As he is, so are we. So claim your standing in Jesus Christ. Act like a son of God. That's what you are. All power in heaven and earth is given to you. So God created man in his own image. In the image, Genesis 1:27. In his own image, God created he him. Male and female created he them. God did not make one inferior to the other. Where did God get Eve from? From the rib, right below the heart. Where a wife should be, right here with you, in your heart. Right here where she should be and should be treated that way. So how well are you treating your wife is how well you treat in Jesus Christ. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's Genesis 2:24 and Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and wife, and they were not ashamed. In Matthew 10:27, he said, he that love his father or mother, sister or brother, anyone more than they love him cannot be a disciple. So your first love is to God, and there's a lot of spiritual meaning to that. 1 John 4:21 said, let's be loving everyone. John 5:10 shows how we should have great love for all mankind. Now, the sum of God's word is in Psalm 119:160. Now, it said, thy word is true. Every word of thy word is true. It's the whole sum of God's word. So we want to look at the whole picture of what God is showing us in reference to a wife. Men and women were marred in the potter's hand. Men and women were marred. Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. My sister-in-law, who's an angel to us, she means so much to us that it's incredible. She called me early one morning with this scripture, and she said, Willard, that's speaking of us, is it not? And without thinking, I said, yes. The earth was without form and void. It was marred in the potter's hands. Now, we're thinking of a physical earth, which, yeah, it was. Physical, first physical, and that which is spiritual. But the earth was marred. It was without form and void. Tohu and bohu is the Hebrew word, without form and void. Go down to the house of Jeremiah 18:1. The Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, go down to the potter's house, and you will see that I am doing a work on the wheel that's marred in the potter's hand, so I got to make it anew. The earth was marred in the potter's hand. Genesis 1, Jeremiah. We were all marred in the potter's hand, and that's what this whole life process is about, making you in the image of God. And the talk that Steve is going to have is going to explore, I think, more about the meanings of some of these things. So I like what he was having to say earlier to us last evening. So, as we were marred in the potter's hand in Genesis 1:26, said, let us be making man in our image. In Galatians 4:19, my little children, whom I travail in birth, again, God comes again to you in travails until Christ be formed in you. Christ is being formed in each one of us every day. Hopefully, if you follow in Him, you're living by every word that proceeds out of His mouth. Now, that's a lot to do. That's why we got to be pulling together to help each to do that. Unto the woman He said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, childbirth. The same childbirth Jesus spoke of when you travail in pain till Christ be formed in you. And your shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be as added. Scratch it out. To your husband, and he shall rule over you. Well, how well did that work out with Adam and Eve? How well did it work out? Next scripture, Genesis 3:17. Unto Adam he said, because, accountability to Adam. You're accountable, Adam. You have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat it all the days of your life. We're eating of this ground all the days of our life. We physically eat. Everything that we eat comes out of the ground. And we're slowly eating away and destroying this ground that we're cursed with all the days of our life. An example of Cain and Abel. Cain pictured the flesh. Abel pictured the spirit. So how well did it work out with them? Genesis 4:17, if you do well, you shall not be accepted. If thou doest not well, if thou do well, thou shall not be accepted. If thou dost not well, sin lies at the door. And unto you shall be, again shall be added. So unto you his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Well, how well did that work? And Cain, verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. So that ruling over him didn't work there either. All this shows us that Jesus Christ, God the Father, put two people together, that you've seen two donkeys hitched up together with a plow, and one's pulling that way and one's pulling the other way. That's the way man and wife are to begin with. You're not thinking alike. You're not pulling alike. You pull in an opposite direction. They had the same parent. One the seed of the serpent, the flesh. One of the spirit. Natural first, in the spirit, in that order. Now, these two examples of two people put together, both pulling in the opposite direction. Why? Romans 8:20. For man was made subject to vanity. He was marred in a potter's hand. So you got two people put together that are pulling in two different directions. Because the carnal fleshly mind is not subject to the law of God, Romans 8:7, neither indeed can be. It can't be. So they of the flesh cannot please God. You can't do it. All of us have tried most of our life to please and follow and honor God. Most of our lives. It took the Lord almost killing me to bring me to the place where I quit trying in the flesh. And I cried out to the Lord, Lord, please save me from myself. Please don't give up on me. All of you in life will come to a time when you feel that everyone has forsaken you. It happens. Most horrible thing in the world for that time to come when you feel all have forsaken you. I went at one time for weeks without hearing from anyone. The emails were shut down. Everything became silent. And it was the most horrible trial I'd ever gone through. I thought I had been through some trials, but I hadn't. I had some of them, and I said, Lord, you've given me a mountain this time. And I found out he'd given me a little mole. Then he brought the real mountain. Those times comes because it must be to try and test and prove you. All this sore travail, what's that, Ecclesiastes 1:13? All this sore travail the sons of men are given to be exercised thereof. So you're going to go through those times. And the email wasn't cut off of me deliberately. It was cut off of me deliberately, though. God deliberately cut it off. The people that I love didn't do it. They didn't know it was happening. But the Lord knows what He's doing. He custom designed a plan for me. And I was such a hard-headed alpha male that the Lord had to begin destroying that alpha male. Almost killed me. But I thank Him every day for those trials went through. So, brethren, you got them ahead for you. Don't think it in any strange thing is. Peter wrote in the book of Peter, when fiery trials come up on you to test you. I repeated that to our group every week for months. I know they got tired hearing it. I didn't know I was the one that was going to need it the most, for my trial came before theirs. But trust me, your trials will come because God loves you. As many as He loves, He rebukes and chastens and scourges every son He received. So believe me, it's coming. Now, we're all familiar with Proverbs of the virtuous woman. In Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that makes us ashamed is rottenness to the bone. What does that mean? It means if you walk in according to Jesus Christ, you bring glory to Him. But if you are a bad Christian, just elect, you bring shame and rottenness to His bone, a bad Christian. And I'm going to skip some because I've got so many notes and I don't know where I've done gotten their time since we're off schedule already, so I'm going to move along. There comes a time, though, in all of this that the Lord said, there will come a time in Isaiah 62:4, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall the land, the wilderness, the world, any more be termed desolate or waste. But you shall be called Hepabiah. My delight is in her. In her. The wife. The church. And your land, Beulah. We've heard the song Beulah Land, oh sweet Beulah Land. It means marriage. Beulah means marriage. Husband to marry. Beulah Land. Beulah have dominion. Be husband to marry a wife. And who's Beulah Land going to marry for a wife? Do I need to say more? In Exodus 15:18, and the Lord shall reign forever and ever, for the eons of eons. Romans 15:12, again Isaiah said, there shall be a root out of Jesse, he shall rise up and reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. We are the Gentiles, and we are trusting in him, us. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And he has made us, just us men, right? He has made us's, all of us's, you ladies as well. Unto us, he has made unto us our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. We shall reign on the rest of humanity. And the seventh angel sounded, Revelation 11:15. And there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world had come, the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. What did I read earlier in 2 Corinthians? That you are Christ, anointed, Christos, as I said in Dallas. You are Christ, and His kingdom is Lord and of His Christ. You are Christ. God is not producing something less than Himself. What He is, so are you. As Jesus Christ is, so are you. And He shall reign forever and ever. And there shall be no more night there. They need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord giveth light, and He shall reign forever. The Scripture said, the Spirit quickens the flesh in John 6:63. The Spirit quickens the flesh, profits nothing. The words that I speak are spirit, and they are life. So do we want to continue talking about the physical, or do we want to look at this from the spiritual aspect that the Lord said you must do? My words are spirit. So what is meant by these things? The physical first. So the Lord gives you physical example, which shows the spirit, the spiritual things that you must see. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall then the members of Christ then make a member of a harlot? God forbid. What is meant here is when you go out and participate with the churches of this world, you are making your body part of a harlot. It says, don't do that. What? Know you not that which is joined to the harlot? Harlot is one body. For two, says he, shall be one flesh. So you become one with them, as you do in marriage. So let's look at the spiritual aspect, for that's what he's speaking of, is your association with the world. The Lord has called you out, not in. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I want to be joined to him. I want to be of one mind. Many of your brothers call me and I call you, and we're thinking and talking the same thing. We're not talking anything different. We're the same spirit. Flee fornication. Flee doing those things. Don't go to them. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have, and you are not your own? You are carrying God the Father and Jesus Christ with you. They are in you. I've often said that when you go to the good old boys go to their hunting camp or all fishing, it's like they leave Jesus Christ sitting on the back porch, rocking in the rocking chair and drinking tea with a wife. No, no, no. He's right there with you. He knows everything you think, say, and do. So when you go out like you let people see Jesus Christ walk out your door. And if you go to a hunting camp or a fishing camp, let Jesus Christ walk in with you. Of course, you'll become quickly unpopular. You won't be a popular person. They won't like you at all. If you do the things they do, they'll love you. The world loves people that does and thinks what they think. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. I'm not going to explain that. I got a little star by that, which are God's. Weigh that. Study it. Look at it. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise the wife unto the husband. Now, there's a physical relationship here that we must obey to. But the spiritual aspect of it is what you better obey. If you're doing the spiritual, these physical things will take care of themselves. If you honor your true husband, your true wife, there won't be any problem with a physical wife. Now, we all have occasional spats. Betty and I are getting to where they're less and less and less. And we have lots and lots of enjoyable times. In the afternoon at 2 o'clock, she says, where's my coffee? We go out on the lanai. My brother named it that. Our back screened-in porch is the lanai. And we go out on the lanai and we have a cup of coffee. And we sit there and talk. Sometimes the weather's pretty and the wind's blowing. We'll go out to the gazebo and sit and drink coffee. And it's enjoyable time. And it should be. And if you have one little bit of disrespect for your wife, of course, if you're looking at another woman to lust, you're disrespecting your wife, and the more you look, the more you will disrespect your wife. every day, if you need to, you ask the Lord to give you love and respect for your wife, for that wife represent the body of Christ. You ask the Lord to give you more love and respect for her. And believe me, I have to do it. And I know when I start doing it, and I haven't asked. The Lord wants you to ask. So you ask so that you're showing proper respect for her. If you make a mistake, it's all right, but it's not all right not to repent and change it. Let the husband render, I read that. The wife has no power over her own body but the husband. Likewise, also the husband has not power over his own body but the wife. You are bought and paid for. Be not the servants of men. 1 Corinthians 7:23. Jesus Christ is bought and paid for you. I think we're going to see something a lot clearer on that in just a minute. Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman and all the things she does. Sounds like the wife need to be out a real estate mogul, doing all these fantastic things. And boy, a businesswoman comes in at night about 9 o'clock, tired out, and throws her coat on the rack and says, "Wow, this has been a tough day." For boy, she's done so much and accumulated so much that her husband sitteth in the gates and everybody come by, "Hey, that's old Willard. His wife makes millions." What are you talking about? It's talking about an obedient wife that's obedient to her husband. That husband that sits in the gates is none other than Jesus Christ and God the Father, and that wife is you and me. We're not building up praise for a man. A man's not being built up by a hard-working woman so that he can sit in the gates and, boy, see my wife? That was her just drove in that new Lexus. That's not what it's about. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. There's order. There's order in which he has it. The wife and husband are assigned different responsibilities and or accountabilities. Not one less than the other. They are huge. They are huge responsibilities or accountabilities. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So the man that you to be honoring and obeying is that man Christ Jesus. You honor your true head. The man symbolizes your true head, but Jesus Christ is the head of all. He's the chief cornerstone. He is the one. A few of you, I'm sure, are not married. We've got a lot of women out there with no husbands, so they think. But they are. They're married to Jesus Christ. So you do have a husband. Everyone has a husband. If a man teach otherwise, 1 Timothy 6:3, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which is according to godliness. What did I say that was not according to godliness of how you should be walking? 1 Timothy 2:18, John. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair of gold and pearls in costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You need to look at carefully at that. And I have a niece, loved to death, good Christian girl, go to church every week. But she was displeased with her boobs. I don't know of any other way to say it. So she got a boob job so she would feel good. So she'd look good. For Jesus Christ? She did it for the flesh, so she would feel good to the flesh. So when she walked up, men would look at her. If you dress where men are staring at you, you need to stand in front of the mirror, stand in front of your husband or a good friend and say, am I dressed modest? Am I dressed in a way that would please Jesus Christ? Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Now, that kind of slaps at women, kind of makes you feel bad, but it's simply saying to be still. Just sit with stillness and listen. With quietness, with humility. And if you need to know anything, 1 Corinthians 14:35, ask your husband when you get home. It's the order in which God has set there to teach us to do things decently and in order. It's just the way he likes it. And I hear oftentimes mics taped, and I hear women in the background, they can't shut up. They're blabbing. Be quiet, ladies. You too, men. You need to shut up too and listen. Ask your questions afterward. And I mean that out of all love. I think every one of you knows that I love you. And I want us to learn to respect Jesus Christ in the order in which he's set. He's got the least one of all of you up here teaching you. He scraped the bottom of the barrel, and as I've told a friend of mine, that the Lord took chicken manure and made ice cream out of it, or is making ice cream out of it, because I myself can do nothing. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So I understand from that the Lord's put the accountability of the leadership on the man. Doesn't mean the wife's less. My wife amazes me as we sit down and go, we're going through the book of Genesis, and as you take it from the Spirit, you couldn't get through that thing in 10 years. We're moving slowly. But she amazes me at how she comprehends and sees it in her comments. And I'm, wow. And her sister, Fanny, just a jewel. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, for if they continue in faith and love and holiness and sobriety until Christ be formed in you. That's what it's speaking of. Travails and pain until Christ be formed in you ladies too. Us men too. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. You take in everything as though you're doing it for Jesus Christ. If you do that to please him, you will please each other. My wife loves nothing more when she sees me totally doing everything I can to obey Jesus Christ. It gives honor to her. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now that's a large responsibility, and I say responsibility. God holds you accountable for it. So when I say responsible, realize I mean accountable. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now if I'm walking down the street, and so Betty and I have walked for years, and where we used to live, we've had dogs attack. Well, I'm the one out front for that because I'm accountable to my wife to protect her. So I'm going to do that. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband loves your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it and gives himself for it. It is a continual process that Jesus Christ is doing, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkles or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the way God's going to present you. It's the way he's going to present his wife, which is you. So this physical wife we have is symbolic, a shadow of the real wife, which is all of us, wife, husband, and so on. Just different functions are given in the body of Christ. A wife's given one thing to be accountable for, a husband another. Neither's a small thing. Being a called as God's elect is a full-time occupation. It's called that. You are given an occupation all the days of your life. So ought men to love their wives as their own body? He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man has ever hated his own flesh. I'm in Ephesians 5, if I didn't tell you all, 29. But nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Oneness in the body. Now, listen, this is a great mystery, Ephesians 5:32. After all I've said, what is God saying? For this is a great mystery. You know, mystery means secret. But I speak concerning Christ in his church. We all get worked up in who's in charge of the house. Boy, who's minding the kitchen? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Not just you men and women. If we begin to treat our wives more of the matter in which we should, you hadn't put me 10 minutes, had you? Okay, I'll tell it then. Okay. You may have to throw something at me, Aaron. Because as he is, so are we. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we love him, 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. Now we're commanded to love our wives, and she's commanded to fear us, phobia. It's a phobia to have a reverential respect. Now, what did he say? I spoke all of this as a mystery of Jesus Christ and his church. It's the fear and respect you have of disobeying Jesus Christ. Now, if a husband asks the wife to do something, and she's rebellious against it, she's rebelling against Jesus Christ. And if you asking her to do something she shouldn't do, you insulting Jesus Christ. So it's a double-edged sword. So each husband should love his wife as much as he loved himself, and each wife see that she respect her husband. And that's a phobia that I spoke of. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17. Giving thanks to God and the Father, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as fitting the Lord. Husband, love your wives, and don't be bitter against them. Well, if you catch yourself mad at your wife, go out. I kidded Greg yesterday, and I pick on my buddy. Boy, I give those two a hard time sometimes. I don't know why they even speak to me sometimes, but I'm hard on them. We had some crazy people driving. One was passing a long line of cars at 70, 80 miles an hour. Probably, wouldn't you say doing 70? Up a hill with a double line, and we could see the next car coming. The lights was on that car, even though it was in the daytime, and I'm in the very back, and I'm hollering, "Oh, no, oh, no." As that guy goes over that hill to meet this car head on. Well, when we got up there, there's not a wreck. And I looked, and as the road goes to the right, and that car with the headlights on had to cut off that road or be hit head on. And Greg said, "You crazy fool!" I said, "Jesus Christ, just don't know how to drive." And every time he'd have a crazy driver, and he'd be fussing, I said, "Christ, you didn't have cars in his day, Greg. He just can't handle a car." When you say that, and my brother, I'm not, he knows I'm being humorous with it. But if you see that happen and you criticize it, you're criticizing Jesus Christ. Now, it's hard for the flesh not to do that. Just say, "Oh, well, thank the Lord. I was so glad they didn't have a head on. I did not want to see that. Thank the Lord that it didn't happen." The real wife and bride of Jesus Christ. The entire earth endeavors to prepare us as a real wife. Our entire earthly endeavor should be to prepare ourselves as a real wife of Jesus Christ. For you are now, not later. You are married to Jesus Christ if you his elect. That's your husband. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth from which the first earth was passed away and there was no more sea. This is what's going on right here, right in you today. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Not something that happens in the future, as we've been taught. We're putting the parts together now as a bride of Christ. And we've got a large part to fit in the great white throne judgment. Won't be complete till that final part's brought in. Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Not future tense, present tense. What's happening right now in each of you. And I saw Revelation 21:2, and I saw no temple therein, for God Almighty, the Lamb, are the temple of it. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. And if any man, verse 17, defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, whose temple you are. All of us has done this. That's why this temple will be destroyed. And is being destroyed. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of God, is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You got no rights to claim anything. You have no rights. Was on a ship one time, and the comedian was saying, when you had a problem, just let it go. My wife took that up, and every time somebody would get upset, she said, just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. As Steve was saying earlier, he has total peace and doesn't worry about anything because he realized, just let it go, because God directs all things according to the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11. 15:6, and the seven angels came out of the temple. Who are the seven angels? You are. You're the seven angels, the four beasts, the 24 elders. Having the seven plagues clothed with white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints, that you are clothed with by Jesus Christ. And having the breast girded about with a golden girdle, 21:9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. We are the Lamb's wife. We need to act like it. We need to be acting what we are. And we have a tremendous job to do. God, Jesus Christ said, I of myself can do nothing. I quoted it to you earlier. I of myself can do nothing. I do what the Father shows me. It was God the Father and Jesus Christ that's creating the earth. He doesn't do it separate from him. So he said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You know the Greek word there for draw is drag. So what's your job? Jesus Christ does everything through his Christ. Your job is to be dragging the body of Christ into the kingdom. Let me tell you what, you all responded greatly to what I talked about of having emails and communication with each other. It does my heart great good when you do that. And I want you to do it with each other. You pick out someone at this conference that's having a hard time, that's lonesome, that needs your communication. I already know some. You should. You find them out and you start emailing them. You uplift them. You uplift them. I get a lot of stupid emails from some of you, and I don't care. I love it because I see your name and I see your face and I know how you think. And as we mature, our silly emails will get less. But, Lord, I love them. Email me all you want to, but email a brother that really needs your help, for we must be dragging each other into the kingdom of God. Great peace will you have if you get involved with your brothers. Get your mind off yourself. I hear a lot of people have said, boy, it's lonesome here. Well, they just needed to know what they need to be doing. Feed my sheep. Be feeding God's sheep. And then you'll have less time to be lonely and wrapped up in yourself. You'll be thinking of someone else. And boy, when those emails start coming back, one of you, Jason, sent me an email, and I sent it to all of you, thanking me. And it was an email on love and not taking each other for granted. When he sent me that email, Jason Martin, I absolutely melted in the floor almost. I said, it lifted his day up, and then he turned around and lifted my day up, and I sent it to many of you, and you said it lifted your day up. Be lifting each other up, dragging each other into the kingdom of God as the wife of Jesus Christ. You are his wife. Act like it. Honor your husband. Honor your father, your God. Jesus is all of those. So let's be lifting each other up as we walk into the kingdom of God.